Have you ever felt drained after dealing with someone who constantly criticizes, manipulates, or disrespects you? Do certain people trigger anxiety, anger, or self-doubt the moment they walk into the room? You're not alone. Whether it's a toxic coworker, a controlling family member, or a friend who always plays the victim, difficult people are everywhere. And if you don't learn how to handle them, they'll steal your peace, energy, and sometimes, even your identity. But what if you could face these people with calm confidence? What if you had the tools to protect your energy, communicate powerfully, and finally stop taking things personally? Imagine no longer being controlled by their moods or manipulation, but instead, standing strong in your truth. This audiobook is not just a guide, it's your emotional armor. A powerful transformation is about to begin. And it starts right now. Chapter 1. Understanding Difficult People. The psychology behind their behavior. Have you ever found yourself emotionally exhausted after just a few minutes with a certain person? Maybe they talk over you, constantly criticize, make everything about themselves, or simply drain the joy out of every conversation. These are the people we label as difficult. But what if I told you that dealing with difficult people isn't just about changing them? It's about understanding why they act the way they do and how you respond to them. Before we jump into strategies, boundaries, or escape plans, we must first take a deep breath and understand one crucial truth. Hurt people. Hurt people. Most difficult individuals aren't born that way. They are shaped by pain, fear, insecurity, trauma, or unchecked ego. And when we look beneath their behavior, something unexpected happens. We gain power, not over them, but over ourselves. What makes a person difficult? Let's define a difficult person. They're not just someone who annoys you or has a different opinion. A difficult person is someone who regularly creates conflict, drains your energy, violates your boundaries, or causes emotional disturbance in your life, intentionally or not. Some classic behaviors include passive-aggressiveness, chronic criticism or complaining, manipulation, narcissism, gaslighting, blame-shifting, stonewalling or silent treatment, emotional outbursts or rage. You might think, but why do they act like that? And that's the million-dollar question. The root of difficult behavior. A psychological lens. Difficult behavior often stems from one of three psychological roots. 1. Unhealed emotional wounds. Many people carry pain from childhood, past relationships, or failure that was never processed. This pain becomes armor, making them defensive, irritable, or emotionally volatile. Their bad behavior is a survival mechanism. People don't act out because they're evil. They act out because they're hurting. 2. Insecurity and low self-esteem. An insecure person often overcompensates by being controlling, arrogant, or overly critical. They see the world as a threat and try to dominate conversations, downplay others' successes, or put people down to feel better about themselves. 3. Personality disorders or toxic traits. Some people may have narcissistic tendencies or even undiagnosed personality disorders like borderline personality disorder, BPD, or narcissistic personality disorder, NPD. They often lack empathy, struggle with healthy relationships, and view others as tools for their emotional regulation. This doesn't excuse their behavior, but helps you stop taking their actions personally. Emotional triggers. Why we react so strongly. Have you ever wondered why certain people can get under your skin more than others? That's because difficult people trigger something unresolved in you. Maybe it's a fear of not being good enough, a need for validation, a deep desire to be liked, childhood wounds of abandonment or criticism. When a difficult person crosses your path, They unknowingly pull on these emotional threads. And without emotional awareness, we react, sometimes with anger, defensiveness, or guilt. But here's the truth. Difficult people don't create your emotions, they reveal them. They expose where you need to heal. That's why part of dealing with them is about doing the inner work. The cycle of conflict. Let's break down a typical interaction with a difficult person. Trigger. They say or do something irritating or hurtful. Reaction. You get angry, anxious, or defensive. Escalation. You argue or shut down. Blame game. Each person blames the other. Emotional fallout. You're left drained. They feel justified. And the worst part? This happens again and again. Unless we break the cycle, difficult people can live rent-free in our minds. The way to break it? Don't react, respond. And to respond, you must understand the deeper game they're playing and refuse to participate. The drama triangle trap. Psychologist Stephen Karpman introduced a concept called the drama triangle, where every toxic interaction plays out through three roles. Victim. Why is this happening to me? Rescuer. Let me fix this for you. Persecutor. This is your fault. Difficult people often pull others into this triangle, switching between victim and persecutor, while making you the rescuer or the enemy. Example. Your coworker complains nonstop about their workload. You try to help, but when things go wrong, they blame you. You've been trapped in the triangle. The way out? Don't play a role. Be the observer, not the actor. The power of emotional detachment. One of the greatest skills in life is emotional detachment, not to be confused with coldness. It means not reacting emotionally to provocations, not personalizing someone's bad behavior, not seeking validation from a toxic people. You don't have to attend every argument you're invited to. This isn't easy, but once you detach, you stop giving them control over your peace. Think of their behavior like a storm. You can either get soaked or take shelter under awareness. Questions to shift your perspective. To truly understand and disarm a difficult person, ask yourself these powerful questions. What might this person be afraid of? Rejection? Loss of control? What part of me is getting triggered? Am I expecting them to be someone they're not? What would happen if I didn't react? How would the most emotionally grounded version of me handle this? These questions don't just bring clarity. They build resilience. Real-life example, the overcritical parent. Let's say your parent constantly criticizes you, no matter what you do. You feel hurt, invalidated, and defensive. Now, instead of reacting, you pause. You realize they grew up in an environment where love was expressed through high expectations. They don't know how to show approval. Their criticism is their misguided way of helping. This shift doesn't excuse their behavior, but it helps you stop seeking their approval and start setting boundaries. And that's how you reclaim your peace. From reaction to mastery. Dealing with difficult people is less about changing them and more about mastering yourself. It's about staying calm while they rage, remaining grounded when they manipulate, choosing silence over drama, walking away instead of lashing back. That's not weakness. That's power. Chapter 1. Summary. Let's recap the key points. Difficult people are often wounded, insecure, or emotionally immature. Their behavior is more about them than it is about you. Your emotional triggers give them power. Your awareness takes it back. Don't fall into the drama triangle. Practice emotional detachment. Seek understanding, not control. Respond with clarity, not reaction. You cannot calm the storm, so stop trying. What you can do is calm yourself. The storm will pass. In the next chapter, we'll explore the types of difficult people and how to identify them quickly. before they drag you into emotional chaos. Let's begin the journey to emotional mastery, one insight at a time. Chapter 2: Types of Difficult People and How to Identify Them. Not all difficult people are the same. Some are loud and aggressive. Others are quiet and manipulative. Some dominate you with power plays. Others drain you with endless negativity. But one thing they all share? They disrupt your emotional peace. To effectively deal with them, you must first learn to spot them. In this chapter, we'll walk through the most common types of difficult people and how to recognize them before their chaos becomes your problem. Because awareness isn't just power, it's protection. The aggressor, the loud dominator. These are the people who always want to win. They interrupt, talk over you, intimidate, and dominate. Think of the boss who shouts to assert power, or the partner who yells during every disagreement. Traits: loud, confrontational, needs to be right, blames others constantly, threatens or manipulates with fear. What's really going on? Often, aggressors mask deep insecurity. Their anger is a shield, hiding fear of vulnerability or loss of control. Your strategy: stay calm and composed. Don't mirror their volume or tone. Use neutral, assertive language. Set clear boundaries and walk away if needed. When someone raises their voice, lower yours. That's where your power lies. The passive aggressor, the silent manipulator. They never say what's wrong directly, but you can feel it. They roll their eyes, make sarcastic comments, or forget to do things just to prove a point. Traits: sarcasm, backhanded compliments. Avoids direct confrontation, uses guilt as a weapon, plays the victim while subtly hurting others. What's really going on? Passive aggressors fear conflict, but they also crave control. So instead of being direct, they manipulate quietly. Your strategy: call out the behavior calmly. Is there something you'd like to talk about? Set firm boundaries. Don't play into guilt trips or mind games. Keep communication clear and direct. Silence can be more toxic than shouting when it's used as a weapon. The narcissist, the me-centered energy vampire. They always make it about themselves. No matter the situation, they are the hero or the victim. They crave admiration, but offer no empathy. It's always a performance, and you're just part of their audience. Traits: self-absorbed, attention-seeking, no empathy for others, gaslighting and emotional manipulation, competitive in relationships. What's really going on? Beneath their inflated ego lies deep insecurity and a fragile sense of identity. They need admiration to survive. Your strategy: stop feeding their ego with validation. Don't argue. They'll twist your words. Limit emotional investment. Protect your sense of self-worth. You don't owe anyone endless admiration, especially if they never see your value. The victim, the master of misery. They're always the one suffering. Nothing is ever their fault. The world is unfair. And while you might feel sorry for them at first, over time, their constant negativity can drain your joy. Traits: blames everyone else, constant complaining, never takes responsibility, emotionally exhausting to be around. What's really going on? Victimhood becomes an identity. It gives them attention, excuse, and sympathy, but it also keeps them stuck in helplessness. Your strategy: show empathy, but don't enable. Redirect conversations to solutions, not problems. Encourage accountability gently. Don't get emotionally entangled. You can offer someone a ladder, but they have to climb it themselves. The controller, the master of micromanagement. These individuals need to control everything and everyone. Whether it's at work, in family, or in relationships, They manage, correct, dictate, and dominate. Traits: obsessive about details, doesn't trust others to make decisions, demands things be done their way, gets angry when things feel unpredictable. What's really going on? Controllers are often deeply anxious. Control gives them a false sense of safety and stability. Your strategy? Assert your independence calmly. Offer collaboration, not submission. Set limits on how much influence they have. Stay grounded in your own choices. Control freaks fear chaos, but your life isn't their puzzle to solve. The critic, the fault finder. No matter what you do, it's never enough. They nitpick, judge, and find flaws. Their words sting, even when coded in the disguise of helpful advice. Traits: hypercritical and judgmental. Uses words to belittle or undermine. Rarely offers praise or positivity. Often disguises abuse as honesty. What's really going on? Critics often feel powerless in their own lives. By finding flaws in others, they regain a sense of superiority. Your strategy? Don't take it personally. Ask for specifics if criticism is vague. Limit emotional conversations with them. Protect your self-esteem. Validate yourself. Feedback helps you grow. Criticism without love just wounds your spirit. The drama magnet. The emotional hurricane. There's always a crisis, always a story, always something going wrong. And guess who gets pulled in to fix it? You. Traits: constant chaos and problems. Emotionally explosive. Relies on others to clean up their mess. Can't handle peace or calm. They need drama. What's really going on? Drama gives them attention, distraction, and identity. They feel alive in the chaos, even if it hurts them and others. Your strategy: don't get pulled into their emotional storm. Set emotional boundaries. Stay calm. Don't match their intensity. Know when to walk away. You are not obligated to fix a storm you didn't create. Blenders, the subtle shapeshifters. This is the trickiest type. They don't fit just one category. Sometimes they're kind, other times cold. They shift depending on what they want. One day they flatter you. The next, they ghost you. Traits: inconsistent behavior, unpredictable moods, confusing communication. Keeps you off balance emotionally. What's really going on? They manipulate through confusion. They don't want a connection. They want control. Your strategy: observe patterns, not promises. Set clear emotional standards. Don't rely on them for stability. Trust how they make you feel over what they say. Confusion is often a red flag dressed in charm. Spotting them. Early red flags to watch for. Here are a few quick red flags that help you spot difficult people early. You feel drained after talking to them. You feel the need to explain yourself constantly. You walk on eggshells around them. You feel guilty or anxious after interacting. You're afraid to say no to them. When you notice these signs, don't ignore them. They're not overreactions. They're your intuition speaking. Chapter 2 Summary. Let's recap the key takeaways. Difficult people come in many forms: aggressors, manipulators, victims, narcissists, and more. Each type is driven by fear, insecurity, or unmet emotional needs. You gain power by spotting the behavior early, not getting emotionally entangled. Each type requires a unique approach, but all require self-awareness, boundaries, and emotional clarity. Your peace begins the moment you recognize what drains it. You don't have to understand everyone, but you do need to recognize who drains you and choose peace over patterns. In the next chapter, we'll explore why difficult people affect us so deeply and how to reclaim your emotional power. Chapter 3: Why difficult people affect us emotionally. We've all been there. After a single interaction with a difficult person, we're exhausted, irritated, or doubting ourselves. But why do they affect us so deeply? Why can a simple comment, a look, or a conversation throw our entire day off balance? The answer lies in our biology, psychology, and unhealed emotional patterns. In this chapter, we'll uncover the hidden emotional mechanisms that give difficult people power over us and how to reclaim that power once and for all. Understanding this is not just self-help, it's self-liberation. Humans are hardwired for connection. Since the earliest days of our evolution, our survival depended on social bonding. Being accepted by the tribe meant protection. Rejection meant danger. That ancient fear still lives in us. So, when someone disrespects us, manipulates us, or shuts us out, our nervous system reacts as if we're under threat. That's why your heart races, your palms sweat, or your mind replays the argument on a loop. Your body doesn't know the difference between emotional threat and physical threat. It just knows something feels unsafe. And difficult people trigger that response almost instantly. Our emotional brain, the amygdala, reacts much faster than our logical brain. When someone insults us, ignores us, or undermines us, the amygdala takes over. It floods our body with stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline. We go into fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. The aggressor makes us want to fight back. The narcissist makes us want to flee. The passive aggressor confuses us into freezing. The manipulator might trigger our fawn response, where we try to please them just to avoid discomfort. That's why you might find yourself agreeing when you don't want to, or apologizing when you've done nothing wrong. You're not weak. You're biologically reacting to an emotional threat. Difficult people often activate unhealed wounds from our past. If you grew up around criticism, neglect, or emotional inconsistency, your nervous system became conditioned to chaos. When someone today mirrors that behavior, even subtly, it stirs something deeper. That's why some people affect you more than others. It's not just what they do, it's what they represent. A critical boss might remind you of an unloving parent. A manipulative friend might echo an emotionally unavailable caregiver. The pain you feel isn't just about now, it's about then. And until you recognize that link, difficult people will keep pulling you into emotional loops you don't understand. Another reason difficult people affect us is because of our own internal stories. Many of us carry silent beliefs like, I must be liked to be worthy, or I shouldn't upset people, or I need to fix others to feel good enough. Difficult people sense these beliefs, and whether they know it or not, they exploit them. If you believe your value comes from helping others, the victim type will drain you. If you think confrontation is dangerous, the aggressor will overpower you. If you crave approval, the narcissist will breadcrumb you into dependency. But the real danger isn't them. It's the lie inside you that says you have to earn your worth by enduring their behavior. There's also the psychological principle of cognitive dissonance. This happens when two conflicting truths fight in your mind. For example, you believe your friend cares about you, but they constantly put you down. You think your partner loves you, but they manipulate your emotions. You believe your boss is fair, but they never give you credit. That gap between who someone should be and how they actually act creates internal chaos. And instead of confronting the truth, many people rationalize it. They say, maybe I'm overreacting, or they didn't mean it, or it's just how they are. But every time you dismiss feelings to maintain peace, you lose a little piece of yourself. Energy is another key factor. Emotions are contagious. Neuroscience shows that we have mirror neurons in our brain, cells that pick up on other people's feelings. So, when you're around someone angry, your body unconsciously tenses. When you're around someone negative, you start to feel drained. When you're around someone fake, your instincts feel off. That's why, after talking to certain people, you feel heavy, even if they didn't say anything bad. You weren't imagining it. You were absorbing their emotional state. And if you're highly empathetic or sensitive, this effect is multiplied. Difficult people often create a loop of emotional dependency. They hurt you, then comfort you. They reject you, then draw you back in. They distance themselves, then give just enough attention to keep you hooked. This push-pull dynamic activates the same neural pathways as addiction. Your brain starts chasing their approval like a reward. This is especially true with narcissists and manipulators. They train your nervous system to seek validation from them. Over time, this wears down your self-trust. You start questioning your instincts, tolerating their behavior, and forgetting your own needs. That's why getting out of toxic dynamics can feel like withdrawal. You're not just walking away from a person, you're detoxing from an emotional pattern. There's also a cultural piece. Society often glorifies tolerance and demonizes boundaries. You've been taught that being nice means enduring discomfort, that confrontation is bad, that walking away makes you selfish. So when you do set limits with a difficult person, guilt creeps in. You feel bad for protecting your peace. But here's the truth. Kindness without boundaries leads to resentment. And self-sacrifice isn't sainthood. It's self-abandonment. Now that we understand why difficult people affect us so deeply, we can begin to shift the power dynamic. Awareness is the first step. Once you see the pattern, you can stop reacting and start responding. You can say, "This isn't about me," or "This reminds me of my past," or "I don't have to fix this." Emotional mastery begins with observation, not reaction. Your peace returns when you stop giving others permission to disturb it. In summary, difficult people affect us because they trigger our biology, awaken our old wounds, conflict with our beliefs, drain our energy, and play on our emotional patterns. But none of that has to define you. The same emotional brain that reacts can also be retrained. You are not a prisoner of your past, your patterns, or their behavior. You can rewrite your story. You can reclaim your calm. You can choose who gets your energy and who doesn't. In the next chapter, we'll dive into powerful boundary techniques, real strategies to protect your energy, communicate with confidence, and walk away without guilt. Because peace isn't just a wish, it's a skill. Chapter 4, Powerful Boundary Techniques. Boundaries are not walls to keep people out. They're doors that protect what's sacred inside. Without boundaries, we absorb everything: other people's moods, problems, expectations, and chaos. But with strong, healthy boundaries, we regain control over our lives. In this chapter, we will explore practical, powerful techniques to build, express, and enforce boundaries in a way that commands respect and safeguards your peace. Because if you don't set the terms of your emotional space, someone else will. The first principle is clarity. You can't expect others to respect a boundary you haven't clearly defined. Boundaries must be specific and firm, not vague or flexible. Saying, "I need space," isn't as powerful as saying, "I won't be available for phone calls after 8 p.m. Instead of saying, "Please be nicer to me," say, "If you continue raising your voice, I'll leave the conversation." Clarity creates accountability. When you're vague, manipulators exploit the gray areas. But when you're specific, you leave no room for negotiation. Next is confidence. Difficult people are experts at sensing hesitation. If you say "maybe" when you mean "no," they will push. If you say "I guess I can help" when you feel overwhelmed, they will take. You teach people how to treat you by how you treat yourself. So, when setting a boundary, speak with calm conviction. No long explanations, no apologies, no justifications. "I'm not available for that," period. The more you explain, the more they'll debate. The more you justify, the more you invite guilt. You don't owe anyone an emotional essay. A simple, firm sentence is enough. Another powerful tool is the broken record technique. This means calmly repeating your boundary, no matter how much someone tries to challenge it. If they argue, guilt trip, or gaslight you, repeat your stance like a broken record. I understand how you feel, but I'm still not available for that. I hear your concerns, but my decision stands. I appreciate your opinion, and I'm still going to take space. Difficult people thrive on drama. Don't give them fuel. The more neutral and repetitive you are, the quicker they run out of arguments. Timing also matters. Don't wait until you're overwhelmed or resentful to set a boundary. Proactive boundaries are more effective than reactive ones. For example, don't wait until a friend starts emotionally dumping on you to say you're not available. Set that expectation in advance. Don't wait until your coworker oversteps. Establish your work hours early. Boundaries are easier to respect when introduced calmly, not during conflict. One overlooked boundary tool is the if-then statement. This is a conditional boundary that outlines both the expectation and the consequence. If you continue interrupting me, then I'll end the conversation. If you yell, then I will step outside. This shows the other person that their behavior has a direct result, and you are prepared to enforce it. The key is to actually follow through. Empty boundaries lose power. Consistent boundaries gain respect. Energetic boundaries are just as vital as verbal ones. You don't always need to announce your boundary. Sometimes, you just embody it. When someone gossips, you change the subject. When someone drains your energy, you reduce your availability. When someone pushes your buttons, you stay grounded. Your silence, distance, and disengagement are also forms of boundaries. Not every battle needs to be fought with words. Sometimes, presence speaks louder than dialogue. Technology offers a new arena for boundary setting. You have the right to choose when and how you respond to messages. Just because someone texts or calls does not obligate you to answer immediately, or at all. Turn off notifications, mute conversations, block numbers if needed. Your phone is not a leash. Take back your digital space. Difficult people often use urgency, guilt, or persistence to break your boundaries. But remember, their emergency is not your responsibility. Boundaries also apply to your time. Not every invitation deserves a yes. Not every event needs your presence. Declining an invitation is not a betrayal. Saying no is not rude. In fact, no is a complete sentence. You don't need to invent excuses or explain your priorities. If someone takes your no personally, that's their emotional work, not yours. The people who truly value you will respect your yes and your no equally. Emotional boundaries are critical when dealing with manipulators. This means separating your emotions from theirs. If someone blames you for their feelings, remind yourself, their mood is not my fault. If they try to guilt trip you, say internally, I am not responsible for their happiness. Emotional boundaries protect your inner state from being hijacked by someone else's chaos. Detachment is not cruelty, it's clarity. You may face resistance when you begin setting boundaries. People who benefited from your lack of limits will be the loudest critics of your new standards. They'll call you selfish, cold, or distant, but their discomfort is a sign your boundary is working. You're breaking an unspoken contract, one where you were always available, always agreeable, always accommodating. Now, you're rewriting that contract with one word, enough. Boundaries are not about changing others. They're about changing how you engage. You can't force someone to be respectful, but you can refuse to tolerate disrespect. You can't control their behavior, but you can control your response. Every time you set a boundary, you reclaim a piece of your life. You send a message to the world. My peace is non-negotiable. My energy is precious. My time is sacred. In closing, powerful boundary techniques include being clear, confident, consistent, and calm. Use the broken record method, enforce consequences, and honor your own needs without guilt. Remember, boundaries are not punishments. their acts of self-respect. You are not here to be everything for everyone. You are not a sponge for other people's dysfunction. You are allowed to protect your space, your peace, and your soul. In the next chapter, we'll dive into emotional detachment and inner calm. How to stay grounded even when chaos swirls around you. Because once you master your inner world, no difficult person can shake you. Chapter 5. Emotional Detachment and Inner Calm. The greatest power you can develop in the face of difficult people is emotional detachment. This doesn't mean you stop caring. It means you stop reacting. Emotional detachment is the art of staying rooted in your inner calm while the storm of someone else's chaos rages around you. It's about being present, not passive. It's about observing, not absorbing. Detachment gives you clarity, freedom, and the ability to respond instead of react. In this chapter, you'll learn how to protect your peace while remaining fully aware, strong, and compassionate. The first step to emotional detachment is awareness. You must notice your triggers. Difficult people often poke at your insecurities, your guilt, or your need for approval. They know how to press emotional buttons because they've seen your reactions. So when you feel anger rising, pause. When you feel the urge to defend yourself, pause. The power is always in the pause. In that moment of stillness, you can choose a different response. Instead of escalating, you de-escalate. Instead of arguing, you listen or walk away. Detachment is not weakness. It's wisdom in motion. A powerful tool for emotional detachment is mental framing. This means changing how you perceive the difficult person. Instead of seeing them as an enemy, see them as a teacher. What are they teaching you about patience? About boundaries? About self-respect? Instead of thinking, "Why are they doing this to me?" ask, "What can I learn from this?" Difficult people reveal your unresolved wounds. They expose what still triggers you. When you view them as mirrors or messengers, you take back your power. They stop being villains and become catalysts for your growth. Another strategy is to detach from outcomes. Don't engage with a difficult person expecting to change them. Don't argue expecting an apology. Don't explain hoping for validation. When you release expectations, you release suffering. You stop chasing closure from people who have no intention of giving it. You stop begging for understanding from those committed to misunderstanding you. Detachment means doing what's right, not what guarantees a result. Speak your truth, not because they'll accept it, but because it sets you free. Visualization can also help build emotional distance. Imagine yourself in a glass dome. You can see and hear everything, but nothing penetrates your peace. Or picture difficult words bouncing off a mental shield, sliding off without impact. These visual tools remind your brain that you are safe, protected, and in control. Your nervous system begins to calm. Your breathing slows. You stop absorbing tension. Detachment becomes your inner fortress. Another powerful habit is labeling. When someone is being rude, manipulative, or controlling, silently label the behavior. That's blame. That's gaslighting. That's projection. Labeling separates their actions from your identity. You stop taking things personally. You recognize the pattern instead of becoming entangled in it. It's like watching a scene in a movie rather than being pulled into the drama. You remain the observer, not the actor. Breathing is your anchor. When emotions rise, return to your breath. Deep, conscious breathing activates your parasympathetic nervous system, calming your body and grounding your mind. Breathe in calm. Breathe out tension. Every breath is a reminder. I am not the chaos. I am the calm. You can't always control the environment, but you can control your breath. That is where your true power lives. Emotional detachment also requires letting go of control. Difficult people are often unpredictable. They may lie, blame, explode, or sulk. You cannot manage their reactions. You can only manage yours. When you stop trying to fix them, persuade them, or rescue them, you liberate yourself. Control is an illusion. Freedom comes when you release it. Let them be who they are, and you stay grounded in who you choose to be. Journaling can deepen your detachment. Write about your interactions with difficult people. What triggered you? What did you feel? What did you need that you didn't get? Journaling turns vague emotions into clear insights. It gives you space to process pain without projecting it onto others. It transforms confusion into clarity. When you write, you empty the emotional load. You stop carrying what no longer serves you. Another key to emotional detachment is forgiveness. Not for them, but for you. Forgiveness doesn't excuse behavior. It unhooks you from bitterness. Holding on to anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to suffer. Forgive to free yourself. Forgive to let go of the energetic chains tying you to their dysfunction. Say to yourself, I release the need for them to make it right. I choose peace over resentment. That decision is the gateway to healing. You must also detach from the idea that being calm means being passive. Detachment is not silence in the face of abuse. It is strength without aggression. It's the ability to speak your truth, walk away, or draw a line without being emotionally hijacked. Calm people are often the most powerful in the room. They don't yell because they don't need to. Their energy speaks volumes. Their peace intimidates chaos. Creating inner calm is a daily practice. It means starting your day grounded. Before checking messages, meditate. Before dealing with the world, check in with yourself. Center your energy. Journal. Pray. Visualize. Whatever brings you back to your core. You can't give calm to others if you haven't cultivated it within. A chaotic inner world will always be at the mercy of external storms. Sometimes, detachment means walking away permanently. Not every relationship is meant to be healed. Some people are too toxic, too disrespectful, too draining. You can wish them well and still leave. Detachment gives you the strength to close the chapter without guilt. You stop trying to change the unchangeable. You start protecting your peace like your life depends on it. Because in many ways, it does. In summary, emotional detachment is about responding, not reacting. It's about observing, not absorbing. You build it through awareness, breath, journaling, visualization, and choosing peace over control. Difficult people lose their power when you stop giving them emotional real estate. You don't have to engage every insult, every drama, every bait. Silence can be your answer. Stillness can be your shield. Detachment is not distance from others. It's closeness to yourself. In the next chapter, we will explore verbal judo, turning conflict into calm conversations. Because once your inner world is stable, you can begin to disarm difficult people with skillful language and composed strength. Chapter 6, Verbal Judo. Turning conflict into calm conversations. Words can escalate conflict or dissolve it in seconds. The way you speak determines whether tension grows or fades. Verbal judo is the art of using calm, respectful, yet powerful language to redirect aggression, stop manipulation, and guide conversations toward resolution. It is not about defeating the other person. It's about diffusing the situation while staying centered and in control. Just like a skilled martial artist redirects force instead of resisting it head-on, verbal judo teaches you to use psychological leverage and emotional control to neutralize difficult people. The first rule of verbal judo is never mirror hostility. When someone yells, insults, or criticizes, your instinct may be to fight back or shut down, but neither response wins in the long run. Fighting back escalates. Shutting down avoids. The real power lies in staying calm while asserting your truth. If they shout, you lower your tone. If they accuse, you ask questions. If they provoke, you pause. This reversal disarms them. Difficult people expect resistance. When they don't get it, they lose momentum. One of the most effective verbal judo moves is the use of I statements instead of you attacks. Say, I feel disrespected when, instead of you always disrespect me. Say, I need space to think, instead of you never stop talking. I statements express your experience without blaming. They avoid triggering defensiveness. They shift the conversation from accusation to communication. When people don't feel attacked, they're more open to listening. Another key tactic is asking calm, direct questions. If someone is blaming or angry, respond with questions that encourage reflection. Say, what outcome are you hoping for here? Or, can you help me understand what you need right now? Questions shift people from their emotional brain to their rational brain. They interrupt reactivity. They invite conversation over confrontation. Even if the person refuses to answer constructively, you maintain the upper hand by staying calm and curious. Tone is everything. The same sentence can sound respectful or aggressive depending on how it's said. Speak slowly, with a steady rhythm. Keep your voice relaxed but confident. Avoid sarcasm, rolling your eyes, or dismissive gestures. Difficult people often read body language more than words. If your voice is calm but your eyes are rolling, they'll feel disrespected. If your words are soft but your tone is sharp, they'll hear the hostility. Match your words and tone with genuine calm. The power of acknowledgement can't be underestimated. Acknowledge their feelings without agreeing with their behavior. Say, I can see you're frustrated. Or, I hear that this is upsetting for you, Beth. This doesn't mean you agree with their opinion. It means you recognize their emotions, which de-escalates tension. People want to feel heard before they calm down. If you skip acknowledgement, they raise their voice. If you validate their emotion, they lower it. Another advanced move is the strategic use of silence. Not every comment needs a reply. If someone is being deliberately provocative, silence can be more powerful than any comeback. Silence says, I'm not playing your game. It's not weakness, it's control. After a pause, you can redirect the conversation or set a boundary. Difficult people often thrive on emotional reaction. Your silence robs them of their fuel. Redirection is another powerful strategy. When someone veers into blame, accusations, or circular arguments, redirect them to the core issue or solution. Say, let's focus on solving the problem, not assigning blame. Or, we've talked about what went wrong, let's now talk about how to move forward. Redirection prevents emotional quicksand. It keeps the conversation solution-focused and anchored. Empathy is a verbal superpower. You can be empathetic and firm at the same time. You can say, I understand that you're overwhelmed, and I still need to leave this conversation for now. Empathy softens the impact of your boundaries. It shows that you're not cold, you're self-respecting. Most difficult people aren't used to someone being kind and assertive at the same time. That combination catches them off guard in a good way. It's also important to set verbal boundaries. Be direct and clear. Say, I don't allow name-calling in conversations with me. Or, if this continues in a disrespectful tone, I'll need to end the call. Boundaries must be spoken firmly and followed through with action. Don't make empty threats. Be respectful but unshakable. Difficult people test limits. If you don't reinforce yours, they'll continue pushing. Use broken record technique when someone refuses to respect your boundary. Repeat your message calmly, no matter how many times they try to derail it. I understand, but I'm not comfortable continuing this discussion right now. I hear you, but I've already made my decision. This technique works because it avoids emotional engagement and reinforces your stance through consistency. Eventually, they run out of steam. Another useful approach is fogging. Fogging means acknowledging part of what the other person says while not accepting the entire statement. If someone says, you're so selfish, you never help me. You could reply, I can see how it might look that way sometimes. This response doesn't agree or argue. It acknowledges their perception without losing your position. It creates space and slows the emotional charge. Avoid getting sucked into word games or circular debates. Difficult people often repeat themselves or twist words to gain control. You don't have to correct every falsehood or explain yourself repeatedly. Learn to end conversations gracefully. Say, we're going in circles. Let's revisit this later. Or, I've said what I needed to say. I'm stepping away now. Ending the conversation is not avoidance. It's leadership. Use positive, forward-focused language. Instead of saying, you always mess things up, say, let's figure out a better way next time. Instead of this is your fault, say, what can we both do differently to avoid this? Language shapes perception. When you use hopeful, problem-solving words, you create psychological safety, even with difficult people. Stay emotionally congruent. Don't say, I'm fine, when you're clearly angry. Don't pretend you're calm while your body is tense. People sense emotional dissonance, and it creates mistrust. If you're upset, acknowledge it honestly without blaming. Say, I'm feeling overwhelmed, and I'd like to revisit this conversation later. That honesty builds respect and trust, even with those who are difficult. Finally, always end tense conversations with a grounding statement. I want us to find a way forward. I care about resolving this with respect. Let's take a break and come back to this when we're both calmer. These statements anchor the interaction in purpose, not just pain. They signal maturity and leadership. Two traits. Difficult people rarely expect, but often respond to. Verbal judo isn't about having the perfect comeback. It's about emotional mastery. It's about staying calm while guiding the conversation. It's about respecting yourself enough to speak with strength and clarity, even when someone else is trying to pull you into chaos. Every word you choose is a reflection of your internal power. Use it wisely. Speak not to win, but to elevate the conversation beyond the conflict. In the next chapter, we will dive into boundaries that stick, how to say no without guilt or drama. This is where you learn to lock in your emotional and verbal discipline with firm, lasting boundaries that protect your peace. Chapter 7, Boundaries That Stick. How to say no without guilt or drama. Boundaries are not walls to keep people out. They are doors that let the right people in and keep the wrong behaviors out. They are declarations of what you will and will not tolerate. Difficult people push, test, and often ignore boundaries because they feed off blurred lines. Without boundaries, you become emotionally drained, resentful, and reactive. With strong boundaries, you become calm, clear, and empowered. Saying no is not cruelty. It is clarity. It is a bold declaration that your time, energy, and peace are sacred. The biggest reason people struggle with boundaries is guilt. We've been taught to prioritize harmony, even at the cost of our sanity. But harmony, built on silence, is not peace. It's suppression. Every time you say yes when you mean no, you betray yourself. Every time you tolerate toxic behavior to keep the peace, you lose a piece of your own. The first step in boundary setting is internal permission. Give yourself permission to protect your well-being without apology. Your needs are not selfish. They are sacred. To set boundaries that stick, you must first get clear on what you value. If you value respect, you cannot allow name-calling. If you value time, you must limit interruptions. If you value peace, you must guard against emotional manipulation. Boundaries are not just statements. They are reflections of your deepest values. Once you know your non-negotiables, you can communicate them with confidence. Clarity is power. Vague boundaries confuse people and invite testing. The next step is communicating your boundary with firmness and calm. Use clear, direct language. Say, I'm not available after 9 p.m. for calls, instead of, I'd prefer it if you didn't call too late. Say, I'm not comfortable discussing this topic, instead of, let's not get into that right now. The more direct your language, the less room there is for interpretation or manipulation. Difficult people thrive in gray areas. You must speak in black and white. Expect pushback. The moment you set a boundary, difficult people will test it. They'll guilt trip you, mock you, or accuse you of being selfish or cold. This is not a sign that your boundary is wrong. It's a sign that your boundary is working. Pushback is part of the process. It means you're disrupting a pattern they've benefited from. Hold steady. Stay grounded. Don't explain too much. Boundaries don't require justification. Your peace is reason enough. Consistency is what makes boundaries stick. If you say, I won't tolerate yelling, but allow it next time, your words lose power. If you say, I won't do extra work on weekends, but cave in with enough pressure, your boundary becomes a suggestion, not a standard. Difficult people are watching your actions more than your words. Your follow-through teaches them how to treat you. If you wobble, they'll keep pushing. If you stay consistent, they'll eventually adjust or leave. Use the broken record technique. When someone refuses to respect your boundary, calmly repeat it. Say, I've made my decision as many times as needed. Don't engage in endless justifications. Don't get pulled into emotional arguments. Keep your tone calm and your message the same. Over time, this shows that your boundary is not up for debate. It is a firm standard, not a flexible request. Boundaries must also include consequences. If someone crosses your line, you must act. Don't threaten. Act. If someone continues to insult you, end the conversation. If someone keeps showing up late, stop waiting. If someone disregards your time, stop offering it. Consequences reinforce that your boundaries are not symbolic. They are active. Difficult people only respect consequences. Words alone mean little to them. One of the strongest boundaries is emotional detachment. This doesn't mean you stop caring. It means you stop caring. You stop absorbing their emotions as your responsibility. You stop reacting to their guilt trips, tantrums, or manipulations. You remain kind, but not entangled. You offer empathy, but not your peace. You walk away when respect is lost. Emotional detachment gives you clarity and power because it puts your energy back in your hands. Learn to say no without the weight of explanation. No is a complete sentence. You don't owe a long reason. You don't need to defend your decision. The more you explain, the more room they have to debate you. Difficult people often use your explanations against you. Keep it simple. No, I won't be able to. No, that doesn't work for me. No, I'm not comfortable with that. Say it with calm strength and let the silence hold. Sometimes the most powerful boundary is distance. If someone continuously disrespects your limits, despite your best efforts, you have every right to create space or walk away entirely. No relationship is worth your mental health. You don't have to hate someone to walk away from them. You can still love them and let them go. Some people only learn the value of respect when they lose access to your presence. Boundaries also apply to your inner world. Protect your thoughts from self-blame. Set limits on your inner critic. Don't allow guilt to narrate your actions. Don't let fear override your values. Speak to yourself with kindness and courage. Inner boundaries determine how much emotional space you give to difficult people, even when they're not around. If you keep replaying their words in your head, they're still controlling you. Set a limit. Decide what thoughts are no longer welcome in your mind. Boundaries are not about changing others. They are about honoring yourself. They are about creating a life where peace, respect, and sanity can breathe. You teach people how to treat you by what you tolerate. Every time you uphold a boundary, you teach yourself that you are worthy of dignity. And that lesson, over time, changes everything. In the next chapter, we'll explore toxic patterns, identifying the subtle red flags before they erupt. You'll learn how to spot manipulation early, understand the psychological tactics of toxic people, and protect yourself from emotional traps. Chapter 8: Toxic Patterns. Identifying the subtle red flags before they erupt. Toxic people rarely announce themselves with flashing lights and warning signs. They don't enter your life shouting, "I'm here to manipulate, control, or drain you." No, they slip in with charm, subtlety, and a mask of normalcy. They blend in, seem helpful, and often pretend to be your friend. But over time, patterns emerge. Small, unsettling signs that something is off. Your body feels tense around them. Your mind feels foggy after speaking with them. You find yourself doubting your memories, second-guessing your decisions, or constantly trying to prove your worth. These are not coincidences. These are clues. The first red flag is chronic inconsistency. They say one thing and do another. Their words are filled with promises, but their actions are riddled with excuses. They show up when they need something, but disappear when you need support. They love bomb you with kindness, only to withdraw it when you set a boundary. Their love and attention are conditional, based on how well you serve their ego. Inconsistency keeps you off balance. You never know where you stand, so you stay anxious, trying harder to earn their approval. This is not love. It's emotional control. Another red flag is gaslighting. This is a subtle but powerful form of psychological manipulation where the toxic person makes you doubt your reality. You say, "That hurt me." And they respond, "You're too sensitive." You say, "You promised to be there," and they reply, "You never said that." You start questioning your memory, your emotions, your instincts. Over time, gaslighting erodes your confidence and traps you in self-doubt. A healthy relationship validates your feelings. A toxic one erases them. Toxic people often use triangulation to create drama and division. They'll talk about you to others behind your back, then bring back distorted versions of what others said about you. They play people against each other to maintain control and keep you isolated. This tactic creates confusion and forces you to seek validation from the very person causing the chaos. If you constantly feel like you're in the middle of silent wars or hidden resentments, triangulation might be at play. Control disguised as care is another red flag. Toxic people might say, "I just worry about you," as a way to invade your privacy. They may frame their control as love, saying, "I'm doing this for your own good." But real care respects your autonomy. Toxic care manipulates you into dependence. It keeps you feeling small, incapable, and indebted. If someone constantly discredits your ability to think or decide for yourself, they are not helping you grow. They are keeping you under their thumb. Watch for passive-aggressive behavior. Instead of expressing anger or disapproval directly, they use sarcasm, backhanded compliments, or subtle jabs. They might say, "Wow, you actually did something right for once," or, "I guess that outfit is bold in a weird way." These comments may seem minor, but they're seeds of doubt. Passive aggression creates an environment where you're never sure if someone is joking, criticizing, or testing you. Healthy communication is clear. Toxic communication confuses and erodes. Emotional blackmail is another pattern to recognize. This includes guilt tripping, shaming, or making you feel responsible for their emotions. "If you really loved me, you'd do this for me. I can't believe you'd treat me this way after everything I've done." These statements are not about love. They're about control. Toxic people weaponize your empathy. They know you don't want to hurt anyone, so they manipulate that instinct to keep you trapped in compliance. Love bombing is another early warning sign. It's an intense, overwhelming flood of affection, praise, and attention designed to hook you in quickly. It feels magical, like you finally found someone who truly sees you. But this phase doesn't last. Once they feel they've got you emotionally invested, the affection fades and control begins. If someone moves too fast emotionally, tries to make you dependent on them quickly, or showers you with gifts and praise early on, be cautious. Real connection takes time. Manipulation rushes intimacy to gain control. Toxic people often play the victim. No matter what happens, they twist the narrative to make themselves the one who's been wronged. They never take accountability. If you call them out, they'll say you're attacking them. If they hurt you, they'll say you misunderstood. This victim mentality is a shield they use to avoid responsibility and make you feel like the villain. Over time, you may find yourself constantly apologizing, even when you did nothing wrong. Stonewalling and silent treatment are also red flags. When a difficult person doesn't get their way, they shut down communication completely. They ignore your messages, avoid eye contact, or give you the cold shoulder. This isn't about cooling off. It's a form of punishment. It's designed to make you anxious, unsure, and desperate to fix things, even when you're not at fault. Healthy people express their emotions. Toxic people withhold them as weapons. Projection is a subtle but dangerous tactic. A toxic person will accuse you of the very behaviors they're guilty of. If they're lying, they'll call you dishonest. If they're manipulative, they'll claim you're trying to control them. Projection is a way of deflecting blame and keeping you confused. If you constantly feel like you're being blamed for things you didn't do, or you're being painted as the bad guy, step back and assess if you're dealing with projection. Another pattern is constant drama. Toxic people thrive in chaos. If things are too peaceful, they'll create conflict to regain attention or control. They stir up tension, escalate minor issues, or create problems out of thin air. You'll find yourself walking on eggshells, always bracing for the next explosion. If you feel emotionally exhausted, just trying to maintain peace, you're not in a stable connection. You're managing dysfunction. They also minimize your accomplishments and shift focus to themselves. When you share good news, they one-up you, ignore it, or quickly change the topic. They feel threatened by your growth, so they downplay it. This keeps you small, unsure, and dependent. True friends and partners celebrate your wins. Toxic people belittle them to keep control. Trust your gut. Your body often senses toxicity before your mind can rationalize it. If you feel drained, confused, or anxious around someone consistently, that is data. Don't ignore it. Difficult people are masters at blending manipulation with charm. But patterns don't lie. If their presence brings more stress than peace, more confusion than clarity, more fear than love, you are dealing with toxicity. Spotting these red flags early gives you power. It allows you to protect your peace, guard your energy, and exit before deeper damage is done. Awareness is your shield. You can't change toxic people, but you can change your proximity to them. In the next chapter, we'll explore healing from the inside out, rebuilding confidence after emotional damage. You'll learn how to rebuild your sense of self, restore trust in your intuition, and rise from the emotional residue left by difficult people. Chapter 9, Healing from the Inside Out. Rebuilding confidence after emotional damage. When you've spent time around difficult people, your inner world often carries the scars. You may look fine on the outside, smiling, functioning, even thriving in some areas. But deep within, a quiet erosion has taken place, your confidence chipped away, your self-worth questioned, your intuition silenced. Toxic interactions don't just bruise your emotions. They rewire your beliefs about who you are and what you deserve. Healing isn't just about moving on. It's about reclaiming the pieces of yourself that were stolen. The first step in healing is validating your experience. Difficult people often deny your reality so much that you begin to doubt it yourself. You may question whether things were really that bad. You may think you're overreacting, but the confusion, the anxiety, the emotional exhaustion, Those are real. They are the residue of manipulation, not imagination. Say it to yourself clearly. What I went through was real, and it mattered. This is not about blame. It's about acknowledgement. You cannot heal what you do not name. The second step is detangling your identity from their narrative. Toxic people are masters at projection. They say you're too sensitive, too emotional, too needy. Over time, you start to believe them. Their voice becomes your inner voice. You carry their judgment like a weight on your soul. But here's the truth. Their opinions were not truth. They were tools of control. Your sensitivity is not weakness. It's awareness. Your emotions are not flaws. They're signals. Your needs are not burdens. They're boundaries. You are not who they said you were. You are who you decide to become next. Next, rebuild trust in your intuition. One of the most damaging effects of dealing with manipulative people is the way it disconnects you from your inner compass. You stop trusting your instincts. You ignore red flags. You over-explain, over-apologize, and overextend. Healing requires a return to your gut. Start by noticing how your body responds to situations. Do you feel tension in your chest, a knot in your stomach, or a sense of relief? Your body carries wisdom. It remembers. Learn to listen again. Reestablish your boundaries. Difficult people often bulldoze them, making you feel guilty for asserting your needs. But boundaries are not walls. They are doors. They don't push people away. They protect your peace. Practice saying no without apology. Start small if needed. No to overcommitting. No to toxic conversations. No to disrespect. Every time you uphold a boundary, you rebuild trust with yourself. You send yourself a message. I am worthy of respect. Forgive yourself for staying too long, for not seeing it sooner, for believing their lies. Self-blame is a heavy chain that keeps you tied to the past. But you weren't weak. You were hopeful. You weren't blind. You were loyal. You weren't foolish. You were human. You did the best you could with what you knew then. Now you know more. You can do better. Give yourself grace. Healing isn't about punishing the old you. It's about empowering the new you. Surround yourself with emotional safety. Healing happens in environments that feel nurturing and non-judgmental. Spend time with people who see you clearly and love you deeply. Seek out relationships that are calm, consistent, and caring. Notice how it feels to be with someone who listens without interrupting, supports without conditions, and respects without controlling. These are the relationships that will help you rebuild. Let them in. Invest in self-connection. Toxic relationships disconnect you not only from others, but also from yourself. You lose touch with what you enjoy, what you believe, what you need. Now is the time to rediscover that. What makes you feel alive? What calms your soul? What inspires you? Whether it's journaling, art, nature, or quiet moments alone, spend time reconnecting to your core. You're not a reflection of their darkness. You are a source of your own light. Therapy or coaching can also be powerful tools in your healing journey. Professionals can help you unpack the patterns, process the pain, and rebuild your emotional foundation. It's not weakness to ask for help. It's wisdom. Healing is not a solo mission. The right guide can help you see the map clearly. Be patient. Healing is not linear. Some days you'll feel strong, and other days the memories will return like waves. That's okay. You are not backsliding. You are human. Emotional wounds heal in layers. Each wave is a reminder of how far you've come, not how far you've fallen. Keep going. Celebrate your progress. Notice the little victories. When you say no without guilt, when you recognize a red flag early, when you speak kindly to yourself after a hard moment, these small shifts are signs of a new foundation being built. You are no longer reacting. You are responding. You are no longer surviving. You are growing. Healing from difficult people is not just about recovery. It's about transformation. It's about becoming more aware, more resilient, more empowered. It's about rewriting the story. You were hurt, but you are not broken. You were manipulated, but you are not powerless. You were disrespected, but you are deeply worthy. Let that truth root itself in your heart. In the next chapter, we'll explore the art of detachment, how to stop taking things personally and reclaim your power. You'll learn how to emotionally unhook from difficult behavior, maintain peace in chaos, and rise above the traps of blame and reactivity. Chapter 10, The Art of Detachment. How to stop taking things personally and reclaim your power. One of the hardest lessons when dealing with difficult people is learning how to detach emotionally without detaching from your own feelings. Difficult people often thrive on provoking reactions. They push your buttons because your reaction feeds their control. When you take things personally, you hand over your power to them. You become trapped in a cycle of anger, hurt, and confusion. Detachment is not about being cold or indifferent. It's about reclaiming your emotional sovereignty so you respond with clarity, not chaos. Detachment begins with perspective. Remember, their behavior says more about them than it does about you. When a toxic person insults or criticizes, it's rarely about your true worth. It's a reflection of their own insecurities, fears, or needs. When you understand this, it becomes easier not to take their words to heart. Their toxicity is their burden, not yours. Your job is to carry only what belongs to you. Practice mindfulness to stay grounded in the present moment. When a difficult person triggers you, notice the sensations in your body without judgment. Feel the anger, the sadness, or the anxiety as temporary visitors, not permanent residents. Label your emotions silently. This is anger. This is discomfort. By observing without reacting, you create space between stimulus and response. This pause is your power. It allows you to choose how to act rather than react impulsively. Create an emotional boundary that protects your inner peace. Imagine a shield around you that stops negativity from penetrating your core. You can visualize it as a bubble of light, a fortress, or any image that resonates. When difficult people lash out, this shield absorbs the impact and bounces it back. Your peace does not depend on their approval or behavior. It's anchored within you. Remind yourself daily, "Their words do not define me." Learn to respond instead of react. Reacting means you are driven by emotions, often escalating conflict. Responding means you engage with intention and calm. For example, if someone criticizes you unfairly, instead of snapping back, take a deep breath and say, "I hear your perspective." This neutral response diffuses tension and keeps you in control. Over time, practicing response over reaction rewires your brain to handle difficult encounters with grace. Avoid the trap of personalization by questioning your assumptions. When someone says or does something hurtful, ask yourself, "Is this really about me, or is it about their own issues?" Challenge the narrative your mind builds. Difficult people often project their problems onto others. By questioning these mental stories, you reduce their emotional impact. Detachment is a skill that grows with awareness and practice. Use affirmations to reinforce your self-worth and detachment. Repeat phrases like, "I am not responsible for others' emotions," "I choose peace over conflict," or "I release what does not serve me." Affirmations reprogram your subconscious mind, helping you break free from toxic emotional cycles. Say them every day, especially after difficult interactions, to reclaim your power. Know when to walk away. Detachment does not mean tolerating abuse or mistreatment. Sometimes the healthiest choice is to remove yourself physically and emotionally. If a situation or person consistently drains your energy and peace, it's okay to say goodbye. Walking away is a courageous act of self-respect, not weakness. Your well-being must always come first. Practice gratitude to shift focus from negativity to abundance. Difficult people can cloud your vision with their drama, making it hard to see what's good in your life. Make it a habit to write down or reflect on things you're grateful for daily. Gratitude strengthens your emotional resilience and reminds you that your happiness is not dependent on others' behavior. Remember, detachment is a journey, not a destination. There will be days when you feel triggered and reactive, and that's okay. Progress is made one step at a time. Each moment you choose peace over pain, clarity over confusion, you are strengthening your emotional muscles. Over time, difficult people lose their power to control your inner world. In the next chapter, we'll dive into effective communication strategies, turning conflict into connection. You'll learn how to navigate tough conversations with confidence, set boundaries firmly, and transform confrontation into opportunities for understanding and growth. Chapter 11, Effective Communication. Turning conflict into connection. When dealing with difficult people, communication is your most powerful tool. Instead of escalating conflict, you can use clear, calm, and respectful dialogue to create understanding. Start by listening actively. Really hear what the other person is saying without interrupting or planning your response. This builds trust and lowers defenses. Use I statements to express how you feel without blaming. For example, say, "I feel upset when meetings start late," instead of, "You're always late." This reduces defensiveness and opens space for cooperation. Keep your tone calm and avoid sarcasm or anger. Set firm boundaries by stating what behavior you won't accept and the consequences if those boundaries are crossed. Be consistent and follow through. If the conversation gets heated, suggest a break to cool down and revisit later. This helps avoid saying things you might regret. Remember, the goal is not to win, but to find common ground or at least respect differences. Over time, these communication strategies can transform even difficult relationships into more manageable, sometimes even positive connections. Final chapter, Embracing Growth, Turning Challenges into Strength. Dealing with difficult people is never easy, but it offers a powerful opportunity for personal growth. Every challenge teaches you something about patience, resilience, and self-awareness. When you face difficult interactions with courage and intention, you become stronger, wiser, and more compassionate, not just toward others, but also toward yourself. Remember, you cannot control others' behavior, but you can control your response, choosing peace over conflict, understanding over judgment, and boundaries over tolerance builds your inner power. Difficult people will always exist, but they don't have to control your happiness or peace of mind. Use what you've learned: emotional healing, detachment, communication, and boundaries, to create a life where you thrive despite challenges. Celebrate your progress, forgive yourself for mistakes, and keep growing. Your journey with difficult people is also a journey to yourself, a path to becoming your strongest, most authentic self. Embrace it fully. Thank you for listening, and may your path be filled with peace, clarity, and strength.